Psalms 118. I'm going to read one verse. You probably even know this verse, right? Psalms 118, look here, verse 24. So we're continuing in our study verse by verse. We're down to Psalms 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. And let's pray. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to be able to come before you. And thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Thank you for the testimonies that were given tonight. Lord, thank you for those, Lord, we prayed for and how you have worked, and especially of that little baby, and the baby's healthy. Lord, thank you for that wonderful blessing. Thank you for the growth in little Wyatt. And Lord, we also pray for Jackson. Lord, I pray for him. I pray that you touch his finger, and I pray that you'd help him, that you would help his finger to heal. I pray there wouldn't be any broken bones. Lord, I just pray that you'd just watch over him and help him to learn from it. And I pray tonight that you would bless as only you can. Help us to leave here rejoicing, being in your house, of knowing what we have, being in you. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So in Psalms 118, so if you remember going through this psalm verse by verse, a couple weeks ago we talked about chastening. What happens as someone that's a believer, if you're saved and you start doing things you shouldn't, start moving away, God will chasten you. And last week we were talking about this kind of about our Lord. So it was a prophecy of our Lord that he would be, it would come into this world, and how the Jewish people would reject him, but he came to save all. And then this week, as we pick up, we see the psalmist says, this is a day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. Can I tell you, you think about even in those days, and as there is in these days, there is so much we still have to rejoice in. I mean, we can rejoice, we can be glad. Now, that doesn't mean that we're blinded to what's going on in the world. We live in a very wicked world. When you think about it, when you live in a world where a society thinks it's okay to kill the baby that's in the womb, I mean, that's a very sick world. We live in a very evil world where they were talking, even in our state of New York, Lord willing it doesn't pass, about those that have some kind of disease, trying to give them a right of assisted suicide. They're talking about that now in our state of New York. I think it passed the Congress or whatever. It needs to go to Senate, and then it'll have to go to the governor. Lord willing, that doesn't pass. Hopefully it doesn't. But can I tell you, when we live in a world that takes the innocent, those that are the smallest little babies that are in the womb and wants to kill it and try to justify it, or those that are, has problems, assisted suicide. Can I tell you, we live in a very evil, wicked world. And sometimes of all the things that happen, right, you maybe get on television or on the internet and you see some of these crazy things that happen in our world. You hear about kids going into school and shooting up other kids. It baffles us, right? We can't understand it. You think about other things, people beating people up and bullying. Oh, I mean, we live in a wicked world. And sometimes if your mind is just dwelling on those things, it can get you down. It can get you depressed. It'll be like, oh, my. Can I tell you, it's a wonderful blessing when you think about when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is a joy and peace that comes in. As the psalmist said here, back in those days, they were waiting for the Messiah to come, that he would die on the cross for their sins, and we can look back. I mean, we can rejoice if you're born again. I mean, you can rejoice. You know why? Because you are on your way to heaven. Amen? I mean, think about it. You one day will be in heaven. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, we can rejoice of what God has done for us. And that's why I want you to think about today, and hopefully you'll leave here rejoicing. This is a day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, we can be thankful for, number one, that we know the God of heaven. You want to talk about being thankful? I mean, we know the God of heaven. Now, I don't see God, right? But I know God. I know that he's my Savior, amen? And the reality is, if you know him, and you know God, amen? It's a wonderful thing. It's a personal relationship. We have a personal relationship with our Savior. Look what the Bible says over here to the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, chapter 10, if you ever need help finding the verse, you could always go to the front of your Bible. There's concordance. You have the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. Luke is in the New Testament. Look here at chapter 10, that we know God. Well, the reality is every majority of the world knows there's a God or gods that are out there. But can I tell you, the majority of the world does not know God. But if you know God, that means that you're born again. Can I tell you, there's no greater thought. There's no greater thing in the world. Look here what the Bible says in Luke chapter 10. I'm going to start reading here verse 17. So this is when our Lord walked on this earth. As he was walking on this earth, he sent people out, some of his disciples out, to just share the gospel message to people. And the Bible says in verse 17, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." They were all excited. There were 70 disciples that came back. So we know there's 12 disciples, right? But there was other disciples the Lord had, and the Lord sent those disciples out, and he told them to go and preach, right? And they went out, and as they were going out and preaching in Israel, there was demons and devils that were there. What they were saying, the subject to them, they realized they were God's chosen people. They were like, well, we ain't going to touch them, right? And they came back rejoicing. They were like, whoa! Lord, this is amazing, right? That the devil, the demons, they realize who we are and what we were able to do in thy name. And look what the Lord said here, verse 18. "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now, he's not saying that you go out and pick up a scorpion, right, and just hold it and allow it to bite you and stuff like that. But he was saying at that time when he sent them out, he gave them power to be able to do different things. But look what he was saying here. Verse 20. "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice." He tells us what to rejoice in. "Because your names are written in heaven." They were born again. They accepted him as their personal savior. And he's saying, hey, don't rejoice in those things. Realize what you have. You're born again. I mean, you're saved. That means you're forgiven. You see what he says? Your names are written, right? It's there. Amen. It's a glorious thing when you think about that. And that's what he's saying. Can I tell you, as a born again believer, you won't spend a second in hell. Not one. You won't even spend less than a second. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure there's an official name for it. I just don't know what it is right off the top of my head. But you won't even spend half a second.
Millisecond.
Even whatever. I mean, you won't spend zero time at all in hell. Isn't that a glorious thought? Folks, can I tell you, if you're born again, your name's written in heaven, we have something to rejoice in. It doesn't matter how bad your day gets. And sometimes we have some bad days. Sometimes we have really trying days. Sometimes we face things maybe within our family. We face things in school. You may face things at the workforce. You may face things in society. I mean, you can face all kinds of problems. You may face health problems or financial problems, mental problems, whatever it is. But can I tell you, you can rejoice if your name is written in heaven. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of John. John is the next book, so go to the right. John chapter 17. John chapter 17. In John chapter 17. In John chapter 17, so we can rejoice and be glad that we know the God of heaven. Amen. The Bible says this in chapter 17, starting in verse 1. "These words spake Jesus and lift up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he would give thee eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." Right? We know the Bible talks about that God will draw us, right? To draw us to you. You have a free will to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior or reject him. We believe everyone has that opportunity, whosoever, right? There's people out there that are Calvinists, and what Calvinists believes is certain people are destined for hell, certain people are destined for heaven, and you can't change that. That's not Bible. The Bible says whosoever, everyone has an opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. And look what he says here, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There is only one true God. Now there's a lot and millions and billions of false gods out there, but there's only one true God. And what is he saying? That when you have life eternal, that you can know God. It's a wonderful thing. You think about that day that I got saved, accepted the Lord about 23 years ago. I have a relationship with God. Amen. Every day I talk to God. Matter of fact, before I preached, I prayed, right? And that's prayer is talking. So that's what it is. I was talking to God. I was bringing my request to him. And the blessing is God speaks to me through his word. As I read his word, you know, it's not an audible voice and say, "Hey, Dan," you know. If I had something like that, an audible voice that was there, I'd be all... But he speaks to my heart, amen? But can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing. You can know God. You go through this Bible and you read it, and it's a wonderful thing when you get saved that the Bible, I mean, it makes sense to you. That doesn't mean I understand everything, but it makes sense to me. I read it, and it's like, wow. And you can know him. And when you go keep on reading through this Bible, you know what you'll see? You'll see a God who loves you. God is merciful, a God that has grace, a God who cares, a God that has long suffering. I mean, it's a wonderful thing but you think about it, you can know him. It's awesome when you think about it. You know, there's people in this world, they would do anything to know people that are famous. Anything. I mean, there's people who spend millions of dollars, you know. I can't remember what they spend. Is it over $100,000 or more? There's a investor. Can't remember the guy's name. He just retired from the one thing. He's still going to be on the board. But anyway, they'll spend over $100,000 just to sit down to have lunch with him so they can learn from him of how to invest money to try to make more. Hey, if they just buy me McDonald's, I'd be happy. Man, they don't have to spend $100,000, you know. But they want to, and there's people that do that. Folks, can I tell you, you think about God is so greater. God that created everything. God that created the trees. And you think about the earth that we have and the planets that are there. The stars that he knows them by name. I mean, the God of heaven who created us. The God that knows everything. Sometimes that's hard for my brain to grasp, right? I was a math geek growing up. I'm still a math geek. I love numbers. And one of the things I struggled with numbers was numbers never end. And so for whatever reason, just my brain, I just, you know, struggle with that, right? It never ends, right? You can just always put a number. I understand it now, but I'm just talking when I was younger. I was like, what do you mean it never ends, right? He's like, well, you could just put another number to it. Well, you know, can't there be an end? No, there's just, you just keep on putting numbers to it, right? So there's some things that are in my brain, I'm just saying, whoa. But you think about, God knows everything. God knows everything that you have done today. God knows everything you've done yesterday. God knows everything of your life, of your past. God knows everything that you're thinking today. God knows everything that you'll ever do in the future. I mean, he knows everything. Now think about this just for a moment. Chris, do you remember everything that you did yesterday? Every single thing in that 24-hour period?
Some
things.
Probably like...
Well, you don't want to tell us how many hours you slept. Probably 16, 18, 20 hours that are there.
No, not at all.
Yeah, but can you remember everything you did?
No.
No. Let me ask you, do you know everything she did yesterday?
No.
Wow. And you guys live together and you don't know everything, right?
Wow.
Now think about this for, I'm not trying to put a wedge that's there, right? So, but think about this. Chris, you can even remember everything you did yesterday. Can you remember everything you did a month ago?
No.
A year ago?
Not at all.
How about 10 years ago? Do you remember where you were 10 years from now?
No chance.
Or where you'll be 10 years from now?
No.
Right? God knows everything about you. And you. I mean, think about that. Every single thing. And it's just not every single person in this room, because he does. But it's every single person that's in this world today, Every single person that's ever been born, every single person from you think about from the first person, Adam and Eve, that came into this world to the last people that would ever be, he knows everything. And he wants to have a relationship with you. I mean, the God of heaven. I mean, you think about how awesome God is, and it's just to try to get through the greatness of God, it would be just impossible. He wants to have a personal relationship with you, and he wants to hear from you in prayer. Amen? You can know him. Here it is. You think about it as a wonderful thing. The Bible says, if you look back here, look forward, I guess, to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, look here at verse 24. There were Jews when Jesus was walking the earth, and they were asking him, hey, are you the Christ? The Christ means the anointed one, you know, the Messiah, the Savior. It says in verse 24, then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be Christ, tell us plainly. He already told them before. He showed them by his works. You know, he showed them by his life, the things they did. They should have realized that he's Christ. But look what our Lord says here. Jesus answered them, I've told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. I mean, no one could do the things that he did, right? So it bears witness that he is the Son of God. And it goes on, but ye believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, was he saying that you're not saved? He wasn't saying they couldn't be a sheep. He was just telling them they were not born again. And look what he says here, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, right? And I know them, and they follow me. I know them. Amen? Now, again, God knows everyone. But what he's saying is that relationship. Folks, can I tell you, it's a wonderful thing when you think about you can rejoice and be glad. When you wake up today and when you go to bed, you can lay your pillow, head on your pillow. Don't lay your pillow on your head, right? But you lay your head on your pillow and you can think about this. If you're born again, that you're God's. Doesn't matter what trial that you're going through. Doesn't matter what health problems you have, mental problems, whatever it is. You're God's. And he knows that. And the reality is when you take your last breath, you'll be in his presence. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. You can rejoice whatever you're in, that you're God's. Amen? The second thing you think about, look over here to the book of John. In John chapter 8. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Look over here to Romans chapter 8. So we can rejoice knowing the God of heaven. Romans chapter 8. What did I say?
John chapter 8.
Oh, no. Romans chapter 8. John chapter 8 is a good book, too. Good chapter. But Romans chapter 8. I just get going a little fast. Romans chapter 8. We could also rejoice knowing that God will use this day for your good. Look what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. This promise is not for everyone. Now, everyone could have this promise, but he talks about those that are saved, right? He goes on and says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? But do you grasp that back at verse 28? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, those that are born again, right? To them who are called according to his purpose. This day, God will use your life for good. Everything that you've gone through, God can use every single thing in your life for good. Now think about that for a moment. There may be things that you have experienced, maybe you faced a trial today. You're just like, preacher, you're saying this, but you don't know the trial I just went through. Can I tell you, God can use that trial, because he's God, for good. You may say, how? I'm not God. Amen. He's God. Amen. But I know this. I have seen God use trials in my life for good. God has used trials to bring me closer to Him. God has used trials to allow me to try to help someone else spiritually. God uses it for good. There may be things in my life where I may not understand, and maybe God's pruning things in my life. Well, the reality is He's using it for my good. Never, ever grasped. You're going to think, what kind of education do you have? Well, it probably wasn't the best one, but anyway, I could never grasp the other idea was pruning, right? Pruning, like you prune trees and stuff like that. I never really, maybe never understood it, right? But I grasp it now. I understand. But, you know, you think about a tree. You may have a tree, let's say a fruit tree. And you have a fruit tree. You want to go out. There's a proper way to prune, right? You go out and you prune that fruit tree. You would think, if you prune it, you're going to get less fruit. Why would you want to do that? No, you prune it to actually get better fruit. God in our life will prune things that in itself may not be bad, but He wants us to bear more fruit for Him. So you think about this day, whatever you've gone through, you could always go back to this verse. This is a promise from God. It's not a pastor's giving you a promise, right? I didn't say, I'll make your day good. I can't do that, right? I have no idea what I did even today, Chris. You can't remember what you did? I can't remember everything I did today. Well, I know I slept. Amen. Slept. Amen. Ate. Ask me what I ate, I'd probably be like, well, let me think about it for a little bit. It's not me telling you. It's God. God is the one that's saying, hey, look, I want you to understand, you can rejoice in being glad because I am in control. God is fully aware of everything. Everything that comes in your life. I had a friend, he's in heaven now, Dr. Hamlin, and he would say, has it ever occurred to you? He would probably say it this way. Has it ever occurred to you? Yeah, it was his voice. I probably can't do it. Has it ever occurred to you? Nothing has just occurred to God. There's a lot of things in my life. It's just like, whoa, I was surprised by that. Nothing surprises God. Folks, can I tell you, God will use your life for good. I mean, we can rejoice and be glad in this day, knowing that God is in control, knowing that God will use our this day, and if He tarries tomorrow, for your good. What else do we know? Well, look at what the Bible says over here to the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John, now you're going further in the right in your Bible. You'll run it, you'll see a St. John. Then later on to the farther to the right, you'll run into a 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. So we can rejoice because we know the God of heaven. We can rejoice. God will use this day for good. But we can rejoice. It kind of adds to the first point there, that one day you're going to be in heaven. And nothing's going to change that if you're born again, right? Look here, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Now, that's lowercase s, right? So it's talking about a child of God. Uppercase speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? But this is saying you're a child of God. Sons of God. Wherefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, look what he says here. Now, if you underline your Bible, this is a good word you may want to underline. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. He's not saying we're going to be a God. He's not saying that, right? But He's saying that we would have a new body. We won't sin, right? And that's what it's referring to. It's not saying that we are going to be as Jesus Christ, right? As in who He is. It says, for we shall see Him as He is. But if you go back to that verse, now we are the sons of God. That day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God at that second. Salvation is not a process, right? There's people that teach it's a process. You got to hold on to your salvation and you got to be your good or whatever that's there. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that salvation is a free gift offered from God. Salvation, what the Bible teaches, the gospel is this. Jesus Christ wants to be your substitute. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God told them, if you sin, if you take of that fruit, you're going to die. There's no way God could undo that. God said it, that will be, right? So there's a consequence. So the only way that they could be, quote unquote, could go to heaven, they died, we know physically died, but the separation from God, there had to be a substitute. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I will die for you. I will pay your sin debt. And that's what he did. He became our Savior. He became our substitute. And that day you accept him, the Bible says, now are we the sons of God. You have it. You have eternal life. Now, you may say, preacher, but I'm going to die. Well, yes, if God tarries, physically, you'll die. Spiritually, you have eternal life. That's what he's saying. You have eternal life. And even go further, he tells you, and it doeth not yet appear what we shall be. Did you ever wake up in the morning as a believer and maybe you just said, I don't feel saved? Or you get to that place of you're thinking, what if I'm saved, why do I keep on sinning, right? Because the reality is this, you still have a sin nature that you're going to keep on battling until you get to heaven. Well, there's some days you may not feel saved. Thank God salvation is not based on feelings, right? If salvation was based on feelings, we would all be in trouble. Salvation is based on the truth of what Jesus did for us. He became our substitute, and we accepted that. We believed on him. We accepted him as our Savior, and you have eternal life. That's what he's saying. The reality is this. You, one day, when you die, will go to heaven. That's what he's telling you. Look over to chapter 5. In chapter 5, all I know is that AC, we're going to have to get ready there, Mark. Ooh, boy, getting a little warm. Amen. And 1 John chapter 5.
Bring your coats, ladies.
Bring your coats. There you go, amen. We're going to make sure it works well this year. In 1 John chapter 5, look here, verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. He speaks about with the Holy Spirit that would come in. He that believeth not God has made him a liar because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and his life is in the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. You either have salvation or you don't. That's what he's saying. You either have eternal life or you don't. Right? And it goes on, it says in verse 13, these things have I written unto you, what God has given us in his word. It's not some Baptist preacher. It's the word of God. God saying, hey, here it is. Here's the word of God. It says that believe on the name of the Son of God. So that means you saw yourself as a sinner. You saw there's nothing you could do to save yourself. You believe that Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again. And you're accepting him as your Savior. Believe that's his substitute. He's paying your sin debt. You believed on him. Look at this. That ye may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. I'm not telling you I have eternal life to be some proud preacher. I have some eternal life because I'm good. No, that's not the case. I'm a wicked old sinner, saved by the grace of God. The reason I have eternal life is nothing because of what I have done per se as good things. No. When I came to Jesus, I came with all my sin and I accepted his free gift of salvation. I have eternal life because of what Jesus did for me. But you have it, that you may know. When I put my head down on my pillow at night, the truth of the matter is this. I know where I'm going if I don't wake up. I hope I wake up. But if I don't, I know where I'm going. Before I got saved, I was not that way. Sometimes I struggled to go to bed, didn't want to go to sleep, because I was thinking, what's going to happen to me? I lay my head down on my pillow and I know, right? And that's what he's saying. He says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And then he says, verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him. He's saying, if you're truly born again, there's evidence of salvation. He says, this is confidence. That if we ask anything according to his will, He heareth us. And we know that if he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. What is he saying? We now have access into the throne room. We can bring our prayers to God and say, and we pray for something, and we know God promised to hear an answer. Now, that doesn't mean Mark every time he's going to say yes. You know? Sometimes God says no. And it's because we may ask wrong. We're asked amiss. Or sometimes God may say, you have to wait. When I was, after I got saved, I prayed for a wife, you know, and I prayed and prayed. And I believe in my heart God answered, but the reality is I had to wait. She would say it's because I just didn't see it, amen. God had to work in me, you know. I told her when we went out on our first date, I knew in my heart, I told my grandma, I said, Grandma, I found the lady I'm going to marry. I did. I told my grandma that. But matter of fact, that's not true. I told my grandma before we went out on our first date who I was going to marry. How do you think of that? Amen. Before we even went out on our first date, I told my grandma, I said, I was going to marry Debbie. Right? I knew.
What did Grandma say?
What's that?
What did Grandma say?
What took you so long? You know, I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know what my grandma said. Probably, right? I was close to...
She's out of your league.
Yeah. You know, how much are you going to pay her, right? Or something. I don't know what grandma said. I can't remember. But anyway, then when we got married, I told her that. And she's like, what took you so long? Amen. But anyway, it was my fault. How did I get on that? Oh, I prayed for a wife. And God did answer. But it was in his timing, not my timing. And the reality is, when I prayed, I came to the realization one day, because that it consumed me. That's all I was thinking about. I came to the realization of saying, you know what? If I just keep on focusing on getting a wife, I'm going to miss what God wants me to do to be in the center of his will. So I surrendered and said, Lord, it is my desire. I would love to have a wife. But if for whatever reason it's not your will, thy will be done. I want to serve you. And I surrendered to God to that. And it was right after that, I was at his church service. I looked over and saw Debbie. And I said, you know, I'm going to ask her to go out with me. And next thing you know, we're married. Amen. But what I'm saying is, God, yeah, it's her fault. Amen. So, but anyway, God promised to hear and answer your prayers. Debbie and I prayed for a child. And God gave us a wonderful girl. Amen? So, sorry. You probably know who that is. It wasn't Tofu Guy. It was the other one. But anyway, what I'm saying is God is good. But even when God says no, God's still good. Because God knows. But the reality is this. You think about, we're going to be in heaven one day. I mean, I can keep on going and go, but I won't for sake of time. But when that verse says, this is the day which the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. You have so much you could be glad in. God can give a peace and joy that's in your heart that the world can't give and the world can't take away. There's a joy that I have the world can't take away. I can take it away. I get my eyes off the Lord. I could take away that joy. I could take away the peace. This world can't take it away. I have to be willing to give it up. But God has given me a peace. I mean, I can, whatever trial I face, and don't misunderstand, I'm not talking about when I go through trials, I have a smile ear to ear. There's some trials I'm crying, right? It can burden me. I mean, my heart burdens for Pastor Leek. I think I told you the trial that he's in. Right now they're talking about his foot. They don't know if the treatment is going to work. And they're saying that he could lose his foot. That's what he was saying today, wasn't it?
Infections to the bone.
Yeah, the infection may be in the bone. He may lose his foot, right? Have you ever heard of a family going through a trial like this?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm telling you, I have never heard of it. And in his testimony from today, correct me if I'm wrong, dear, he gave God thanks. His daughter is close to death. She's 17 years old. His car, he's been having problems. His car, they're having problems with his car. His neighbor, I didn't tell you this one, his neighbor is suing him over something. Something dumb, right? He's going through trial after trial after trial. His other daughter has a health problem. It's just like, whoa. And he says, God is good. Because only God can give a peace and a joy that's in your heart. It doesn't make sense. This is the day which the Lord has made. Because Brother Leek knows where he's going. He knows that God is in control. Trust me, he's not coming out saying, I'm some spiritual guy. No. Matter of fact, you hear his testimony. He's saying, you know, this is breaking me. But he's like, God is good. Folks, can I tell you? God is allowing that man and his family to go through a horrible trial that maybe convict us of saying, you know, that's not going through trials. How good God is. God is good. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad. We should rejoice if your name is written in heaven. You are a child of God. That is enough to say hallelujah and rejoice every single day. When you wake up in the morning, just think about that. I know I accept the Lord as my Savior, and I'm going to heaven. Remember, that's what he told his disciples. In this, rejoice not, but that your names are written in heaven. Are written, you know what I mean? If you could lose your salvation, he wouldn't say it's already there. Amen. Are written, it's in, you know, written, it's there. Folks, can I tell you, it's a glorious thing. We can rejoice. You know what the devil will do? He will try to get you not to rejoice. Don't get your eyes off of Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on him. And we can rejoice and be glad. Father, thank you for this opportunity to preach. And Lord, I pray that this message should help and a blessing. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us through this message. Help us to be faithful to you. And help us until you call us home. To be people to rejoice and be glad in what you have done for us. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.